Bagley. Hope you've all seen a movie, Clint Eastwood movie. Maybe you got to be a little older to remember him, but Good, Bad, and the Ugly. And we're going to talk about Good, Bad, and Ugly today. And Romans has a lot of that in it, the good, the bad, and the ugly in it. And we're going to be working on that on Wednesday evenings. And so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. But in the meantime, use your past bulletins. Pray for those that are sick. I'll update the prayer chain on other items. So let's start with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that we can come together in this manner at least and share with one another. And Lord, keep everyone safe. Lord, just we just ask this be your message, your words, Lord, that not mine, but yours, and that any misspoke words would fall on deaf ears, Lord, and you would only speak to hearts with your voice. Lord, we just ask you to open it up today for us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So I do want to get, we're going to be in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, but talk about the good, bad, and the ugly. And, you know, God's wrath is something not fun to talk about, and but it's real, and it's real, and despite many what may say or believe today, it's real. And you know, we talk about how many churches even bring it up anymore. A lot of them say, well, it makes people uncomfortable, so we don't like to talk about it. Well, we have to talk about the entirety of the Bible, not just the parts we like. You know, it's all there for us. You know, how many people only consider that God is love, which he is, but he's also a God of justice. You know, we have a Quaker pastor around my neck of the woods that says there isn't any hell, and the Bible is not accurate, and about many things, and a God of love wouldn't do that to us. And, you know, I guess in a way he's right. No, a God of love wouldn't, but he didn't. We did that to ourselves. We had free will. He gave us the free will to allow us to choose to be with God or not, and we chose not to be. And it's the God of love who's there to save us from death and hell that we deserve. But that's our choice as well. You know, we still have the free will to accept his gift or not, to want a restored relationship with God or not. And God made it possible through Jesus. And we have that choice to get a restored relationship back by accepting what Christ did for us. You know, God had an orderly, peaceful place for us to live that turned into chaos because of choices that were made. You know, God has some rules. You know, he's supreme and he has rules, and they're for our good. You know, the world just says do what you want. Everyone is equal, everyone has a say, and you should just do what feels right for you. Basically, there's no wrong, because you're right if you feel that's what's right for you. You know, and that's just not possible to keep order. It's just not possible to keep from hurting others in that way. You know, what if we're allowed to do that, just as simple thing as a sports game? You know, how would that work out? Everyone on the court or on the field just gets to do what they think's best. You know, this guy says, well, I don't want to run the ball. I want to run out and catch a pass. Or, you know, I don't want to run that far. I would just want to run over here. Nobody knows what they're doing. Everybody's just on their own, and there's chaos. How do you think that would work out? Well, not well at all. And no one on a court or field can do just what they want, because no one's responsible for anything. And ultimately, everyone loses. There's no gains to be made. Everyone loses. And we see societies and communities doing the same thing. You know, the United States was founded on godly principles. Some would argue that. But one of George Washington's first official acts as president was to give the Thanksgiving Proclamation. And part of it reads, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly implore his protection and favor. George Washington stated those words. A few years later, Abraham Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." And then finally, even Woodrow Wilson once said, "The Bible is the one supreme source of revelation of the meaning of life, the nature of God and spiritual nature and need of men. It is the only guide of life which really leads the spirit in the way of peace and salvation." So our nation was founded on godly principles in the godly way. And we know God exists. And we know God's in charge. You know, he makes the rules. He sets the standard of living for our best lives. And as long as we have faith and trust in him, we're in a good spot. We're in a good position. If not, it can get ugly. God's love is great, but his wrath is great as well. You know, and sometimes it's a slippery slope from obedience to disobedience. You know, we have a lot of snow outside. You know, I'm sure a lot of people went sledding and, you know, had a lot of fun. You know, it looks like fun. You know, sometimes we just jump on. It looks like fun. But we don't have a real direction other than we know we're going downhill. You know, we really aren't in control like we believe. We're kind of at the, depends on what we're riding, but we're at its mercy of what we're riding on. We don't have control like we believe. Sometimes we really don't even know what happens when we reach the bottom. What happens when we get there? We don't understand. You know, even Niagara Falls, you know, people go over it. Sometimes actually on purpose. I don't know why. Sometimes on purpose. You know, some know the risks of that and they stay upriver. You know, they're upstream a little bit. But you know, sometimes if we set ourselves in positions, you know, we dabble in it a little bit. Sometimes we can get caught up in the current that we don't see, you know, and get swept down the river, and it sucks you right into the danger you thought couldn't hurt you, danger that you thought you were safe from, because you dabbled in it and got too close and caught up. You know, God has rules for our life. He's got rules for our life now to make our life what he wants it to be and to make our future life what he wants it to be, what we can have a glorious life later with him. So I want to get to Romans 1 and verses 18 through 32. I read from the NIV, but says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another, and they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even the women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. That's a lot. That's a lot. And it says God's wrath is being revealed. You know, it's being revealed. Just look at the rejection of God and the decline of humanity. And look at even the United States. We're on that downward slope, much as the rest of the world. You know, he starts out with saying, you know, everybody knows there's a God. Everyone knows there's a God. There's a general revelation of God in nature, in creation. You know, creation shows there's a God, shows there's a designer. You know, just look around, look at the earth, the stars, the animals, how everything is intertwined. You know, the bodies that we have and all it holds, you know, DNA, chromosomes, and they're learning more all the time as they get deeper and deeper. It's too much just to have poofed and came together, came from a one-cell organism or mud or anything, you know. It's too technical, it's too intricate to have not been designed. So you can't look around and tell me you don't see God and see God at work in the things around us. You know, if you tried enough, have enough faith and believe in evolution, I don't believe you can. You know, there's always missing links. You know, there's always something missing. You know, I'll give them that things adapt to surroundings. You know, birds adapt. You know, they have different bills and different feet and things, and animals adapt to their surroundings, but we are not evolving into something else or something better. We don't change the general what we are. A dog is a dog. A dog can't turn into a cat. Okay, we are what we are. There's some adaptations, but there is not an evolution, which is a change from one thing to something totally different. And then there's God's special revelation, and it talks about God's invisible qualities. You know, his eternal power and divine nature, it says, are clearly seen. You know, I think we understand inside, you know, there's a special revelation that God is real, that he exists, you know, and I think that's for everyone. I think missionaries, you know, even as they would go out in all these places that would say, you know, never been gone to before, you know, these unknown places and tribes of people, and you know, not one of them didn't have a God that they believed in. You know, all believed in a God, mostly with fear of punishment and fear of death, and you know, always doing things to appease the God that they think they know to avoid those things. So there's something inside that says there's something greater than we are. There's something greater. There is a God. So he says there's no excuse for not knowing God. You know, there's something inside. Creation declares that there's a God. And if there's not an excuse for not knowing God, then there's not an excuse for not having a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. There's no excuses. But the Bible says we haven't accepted him. We haven't accepted salvation. We haven't glorified him as our God. We aren't thankful for anything. As our thoughts and minds are only on ourselves, and we became fools with darkened hearts. We only care about ourselves and what we desire. You know, again, we see the fall of the United States as well with others. There's a lot of good things too, don't get me wrong, but we see a lot of humanity the fall. You know, we denied God and made our own images to worship. You can say, well, we don't worship animals and people. Well, sure we do. Sure we do. We worship a lot of things. Worship money and cars and jobs and houses. Worship a lot of actors and actresses, singers, dancers. We worship a lot of ball players, no matter what sport. You name it. Anything we put above God. Anything we put above God is what we worship, what we put first. You say, well, I don't. Okay. Well, where are you at on Sunday mornings? You know, are you at church? You know, are you at, I know back in the day, used to didn't have kids' ball games on Sundays, let alone Sunday mornings, but that's all changed. Not saying those things are bad. Kids' games, I know there's things to do, you know, but say, well, I want to do this. You know, my kids have games, I got to go to the games. Or, you know, the football team, you know, the Colts have a game this weekend, I want to go to that. And then we start adding other things in. Well, I got to work here, I got to work there, I've got to do this, I got to do that. And we start throwing a lot of things in there that in and of themselves, I'm not saying are evil in any way. They're things that to do, maybe family things to do. But I'm saying that if you don't miss being at church on Sundays, if you don't have a pang in your heart about missing, and these things start to become a habit, you know, that you're there more than you are someplace else, then you're putting something ahead of God. Okay, and we make those habits. You know, the world worships a lot of things. The world worships cows and snakes and everything else throughout the world in the different cultures. You know, we live in a world that wants to save owls and other birds and whales and trees and land, but we don't want to save children. That's what we live in. That's where we are fools and we've lost our minds. We've got the wrong priorities. We've got the wrong moral compass. And he says he lets us have our heart desires. You know, when we get to this point, then what happens? It says God gave them over. I know some says God gave them up, but I don't want to confuse that with God giving up on us, because God never does. God doesn't give up on us. It says God gave them over. He doesn't give up on us, but he gives us over to what we want to do. You know, our heart's desires, even though those aren't in our best interest. There comes a point where God says, you know, go ahead, try it your way. You know, do what you think's right. You want me to be hands-off? Okay. See how that works for you. The worst part besides removing himself is that he gives us over to the consequences of our decisions and our actions. We got to face the consequences of our choices. He gives us over to those things that maybe he had been protecting us from, trying to draw us back. I'm sure it breaks his heart to have to do it, because he loves us. You know, he lets us have our desires, and which is what we think makes us better, because we choose what makes us happy. You know, and he lists out some of those things: sexual impurity, false gods, shameful lust, and depraved. And we get to depraved minds. You know, and then we, on our own, we try to set our own standards. We set our own moral standards. The government tries to legislate our moral standards. The trouble is, when we legislate those things, it turns into more of our standards instead of God's standards. You know, and there are things that sound good. You know, we see the breakdown started years ago. In 1961, affirmative action came around, said equality regardless of race, creed, color, or nation of origin. All that sounds good. 1964 civil rights added, basically expounded on those things, and added women, rights for women. You know, then we get around to diversity became big in the late 1900s, and ended up corporations spent about $8 billion on it by the early 2000s on diversity. 2011, Obama signed an executive order, 13583, which was for diversity and inclusion. Again, changing the moral compass. You know, pride organizations grew, you know, in the 2000s, other organizations came into being, you know, Me Too and BLM and, you know, LGBTQ plus, and I know there's other names and other symbols that have gone on, but they've grown, and everybody wants a piece of that equality pie, and that our way's the right way. And finally, we get most recently to DEI, diversity, equality, and inclusion. Again, all sounds good, but it became an added division with corporations all across America, with added staff members and another division. And we know why they promoted. You know, they promoted the same things that were promoted in the late 80s on. You know, there was a time, you know, we all look back at a better time. We've talked about the past before, but, you know, years ago, who would have thought, you know, on TV shows, and there are many, but like RuPaul's Drag Race. And if you don't know, it has nothing to do with cars racing, and see who's going to be the winner. You know, there's Queer Eye, and there's so many of them that promote that lifestyle. And again, God loves the person, but he doesn't call us to love the choices they make. And you know, Hallmark, who would have thought, you know, specifically and intentionally placing same-sex couples in their movies, you know, it's on purpose. You know, Hollywood and all the movies they make, starting to see some good ones come out, but we're see a lot of them that lead us down the wrong path. We've got the Sean Combs, otherwise known as Puff Diddy, thing going on, the Jeffrey Epstein stuff where kids are involved, and you know, all the things going on and all the important people that are involved. And it always causes me pause when people talk about important people, because that indicates somebody they look up to, and I hopefully not in the worshipful way. Everyone's important. Everyone has a role to play. So hopefully they're using that in the right manner. You know, and then it trickles down, you know, just in life in general, even, you know, say, well, that doesn't affect me. But it does when you get down to Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and, you know, homosexual leaders in those places, and each one's got to allow boys into Girl Scouts, girls into Boy Scouts, just because they want to be in those. And we can't have a separation anymore. You know, sports teams, you know, men allowed into women's sports. I'm sure there's women in men's sports too, but you know, it's not just allowed to compete, it's they got to be in the locker rooms and the bathrooms and the dressing rooms, and we can't have a difference anymore. You know, men and women are different. I hope everyone knows that. So DEI started all this. Now we see companies backing out of it, or cutting down at least, but you know, and just recently, you know, McDonald's and Walmart and John Deere and Ford and Harley Davidson, you know, they've cut down on a lot of it, or I believe Harley Davidson cut it out completely. So there's changes going on with that. And a lot of those, I believe, were by people's choices. You know, people's choices made a difference. You know, the choice to buy or not to buy. Money gets attention. And I hope those were based on moral choices, whether to support those companies or not, God's moral choices. I'm not under a disillusion that that those programs were canceled because of moral choices over the bottom line, but people can make a difference in those things. So, and then we get through all of that. You know, he says a depraved mind. He gives us over to a depraved mind. Depraved, basically, is morally corrupt, wicked. You know, read the list in the verses we just read of how, what a depraved mind comes up with, how a depraved mind thinks, you know. And then it ends up, we think up evil things to do. We come up with stuff on our own. And we approve of people to do them. We promote those things, you know. It's a world who thinks good is bad and bad is good. You know, we've got things twisted around. I want to read one more passage today. It's Hebrews 10, verses 26 through 31. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 31. It says, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, you're in God's hands. And if you're not with God, it will be a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You know, justice and punishment are coming. It's a fact. But I have, you know, we've talked about bad and ugly, but I'll talk about the good. There's still good news. The gospel is still the good news and changes people. God's people can make a difference. And we need to tell the gospel message. We need to share Jesus. We need to pray. You know, many times God's wrath in the Bible has started, and you know, and through the heartfelt prayers of people, of believers, praying for mercy and forgiveness, God has responded and shown that mercy. So it takes prayer. It takes a heart for God. And God hears those. God is a merciful God. You know, I don't know what you think about the fires in California. I know some people think it's about punishment. You know, if you look at the images, it does look like an image of hell that we see in some places, with the fires burning and utter destruction and everything gone. And we see it in places literally that have rejected God. You know, punishment comes. There may be punishment, but we can pray for mercy and to bring those who don't know him into a saving knowledge of Christ. You know, you can also look at that as grace. You know, it's a sign. You know, it's a call to come to him. You know, it's an example. It says, I don't want you to have to go through this. You know, this is what punishment might look like. I don't want you to have to go through this. It's a call. It's another wake-up call, which God does from time to time to try to draw us near him, to draw us back. 9/11 was awful, but it created a revival. You know, people turned back to God. Churches were filled, but unfortunately it didn't last. Now we're back to what seems to be the new normal, you know, which isn't normal in any way. It isn't the godly in any way. As we close, you know, believers are still called and can make a difference. You know, we're called to share Jesus' story and what he did for us, and then it's up to God and the other person's choice. But we have to do our part, you know. sometimes we say, well, I'm just a little me, I can't make a difference, you know, I'm too old, I'm too young, you know, I just can't make a difference, it's just too big for me. Well, maybe not to a great many, but maybe to one. Maybe you're called specifically for just one. Would you want to miss out on that and have some explaining to do? You know, kind of that thing, you know, God, you see one at work, you know, I gave you one job, and you messed it up. You couldn't fulfill that. You don't want to face Jesus and say, I gave you one job. You didn't do it. You weren't obedient in that. You know, it calls us for more. But there may be at least one that was assigned to you. I'll close with a little story. You know, a Midwesterner was vacationing on the New England coast. And one morning, very early, she was walking along the beach, and the sun was still on the horizon, and it had rained, but the rain had ended, and the sea was calm. And she was enjoying the beauty around her and the sun coming up, and she glanced down the beach, and she saw a young man, and he was kind of jumping around and skipping, and she said it looked like he was doing a ritual dance to celebrate the sun coming up. And she was curious, so fascinated, so she moved a little closer. And as she got closer, she realized the young man wasn't doing a dance. He was actually picking up objects and throwing them back into the sea. And soon she realized that the objects were starfish. And she asked, she said, why are you throwing starfish into the sea? And he said, well, the tide's going out. And if they're still here when the sun rises, they'll die. And he continued tossing them back into the sea. And she said, you know, that's ridiculous. There are thousands of miles of beach and millions of starfish. You can't really believe that what you're doing could possibly make a difference. Well, he smiled and he bent over and he picked up another starfish. Paused for a moment. And then as he tossed it into the waves, he said, makes a difference to this one. Makes a difference to this one. You know, folks, tide's going out. People are needing saved. Make a difference, even if it's just one. Now, we need to keep in mind, first of all, there's a standard of right and wrong. And it's a standard found in God's word. It's not the one we make up. And I'll repeat, God loves everyone, but not their actions and choices. There's a standard of right and wrong. There's a moral standard in God's word. We need to make a commitment to that. We need to make a commitment to obedience to God's word and not to be like the world, not to share those moral compasses, you know, to stick with God's word. Lastly, we need to have the faith and the trust and the courage, and we need to make the effort to change the world around us. You know, it's what God sent us to do. He said, go and make disciples. That's our one job. Go and make disciples, even if it's just one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that your word is true. And Lord, we know wrath is true as well. And there is a saving grace. And then there's a justice where your wrath will be shown. Father, we just ask you to speak to hearts. You've made yourself known through creation and through your unseen qualities. But Lord, we just pray for people. We pray for those in California, Lord, that in the fires, Lord. We pray for safety for them, Lord. We pray that you'll hold back the fires. Just help those firemen and all of those fighting it, Lord, that you would just bless them with some success. They could get these under control and tamed and put back. But Lord, we just ask that signs you give us are taken for those things, that it's time to change. The tide is going out. but encourage Christians and bring up Christians that will understand that it's time to make a difference, to not be afraid. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Just help us take your word to heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.